Bibles tonight. We'll get down to business. We're reading from God's Word. My scripture reading is a bit lengthy. But I've been told you want to watch these preachers that only read two words. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. And we read together, verse number 6. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There's no higher order given in the book than to be sent by God. There was a man sent from God, and his name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. What a testimony! There was a man sent from God. John chapter 9. Let's omit that. Read chapter 10. There's a little scripture nestled in chapter 10 that throws light on the subject, I think, that is one of the great scriptures. John chapter 10, verse 41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Oh, give me that kind of a man that you could pin your life on. Everything he said about him was true. That's the secret. Let's read again from the Word. There's some great deal said about this man. I wish it had read John, the Assembly of God. I was disappointed with that. But I like this preacher. Amen. Surprising how far he went without the title. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, we read. Would you like to read it with me? Verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayers are heard, is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And that's a glorious testimony to those that are great in their own eyes, great in the sight of their photographer. But he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What a testimony. My text is found in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and I'll finish my reading. Luke chapter number 7, and we'll share the reading together. Verse number 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went you out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went you out for to see, a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject, what made John great? What made John great? Jesus said, of those born of women, there's never been a greater than John the Baptist. Father, would you come in your glory tonight? Would you hallow these grounds with heaven's best? Oh, glory, let the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God lift us above the ability of the flesh and of man, and let us drink from the celestial stream of God. Glorify thy name through the preaching of the word tonight. Let the windows of heaven be opened over these campgrounds. May these be days of heaven on earth and special visitation from the King of Glory. Let lips of clay speak like the pen of a ready writer. And let the countenance of the King be upon us tonight. And we'll give you all of the praise in the wonderful name of Christ our Lord. Amen. What made John great? When I begin to think about great prophets, I have not realized that John was the greatest. Isaiah wrote 66 books, and that silver-tongued orator, what a preacher, what a writer, wrote like he was looking at Calvary 750 years before it ever happened. I like Elijah. He's one of my favorite prophets. He challenged Jezebel, caused Ahab to get wet, outran the chariots, got under a juniper tree. I just like a lot of things about him. Prayed the fire down, prayed the rain down, had camp meeting jubilee. That's my kind of a preacher. I went down the list of prophets. I like Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He wept when he prayed, cried over the Israel, lamented over their sins. I know one day he wanted to quit the ministry, but he got back in. Going to buy a motel, but he went back and got his card back and got in fellowship with the assemblies. And I was glad he got back in. They're just some things. I went down the list. But then I began to notice the book said of those born of women, there's not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. What kind of a man is he? Amalickiah said, he's my messenger. He speaks the word for me. He gives the testimony of God. That makes a man something else. Isaiah called him a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord and make straight his paths. John, when he wrote about him, said, there was a man sent from God. Woo, what credentials. When God sends you, it's different. Hallelujah. When Moses was sent of God, not a dog opened their mouth when they marched out that night. Kids are squalling, pans are rattling, goats are bleating. Amen. Everything was making noise. Don't you know every Catahoula hound in Egypt wondered what's wrong with me? I've lost my voice. There's a difference when God sends you. Hallelujah. It's a high day when you're sent of God. Sent of God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the angel announced it, and I like his announcement. He said, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. There are those great in the sight of men. There's some great in the sight of the TV camera. Some are great in the sight of their own magazine. I got one the other day and it had 44 pictures of the man who published it. And he'll need to see a chiropractor to straighten him out. Because I saw him chasing devils and he got in some shape. It's amazing what happened. He'll be great, not in the sight of men, but in the sight of the Lord. Glory. Oh, it's not man's approval. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Not even great in the eyes of the general council, but he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. It's a high day when heaven puts its approval on you. And then John records it, and Jesus said it. He was a burning and shining light. Hallelujah. I've seen so many flickering little candles that look like they'd go out if you blew at them twice. Till it's a refreshing thing to see somebody that's a burning and shining light. My heart thrilled. He is a burning and shining light. Then I read these words. Matthew chapter 3 says, in those days John came preaching. And I'd just like to see it again. God, give us some more preaching. Hallelujah. We've had entertainment aplenty. We've had Hollywood stars and Nashville stars. But God, give us some God-called, Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, anointed preachers just one more time. He came preaching. Hallelujah. Set us afire with some more preaching. Hallelujah. Young man came up to me and said, Don, I think I'm called to preach. I said, I don't think you are yet. Amen. If you're just thinking you're called, you haven't got it. Wait till you can't do anything else. Till you preach to the trees, you preach to the horses, you preach to the automobile, you preach to the yard. Brother, it'll get in you. This thing will be like fire. Shut up in your bones. Give us preachers again. I discovered the anointing of the Holy Ghost preaching to my spotted horse. He never got saved, but he never ran out on me. And he never went to sleep. And he never got mad and left. Amen. And never quit paying tithes. In those days, John came preaching. What a day it is when we come preaching. I like preachers. Just something about preachers I like. My father's not a preacher. My wife's father's not a preacher. And I've got one brother that's a preacher, but we used to keep the preacher at our house. Some of you may have been the preacher that stayed there. I think God sent you our way to keep you humble. Mom would grab my arm and pinch me and say, son, you get a scratcher in the neck, we got the preacher here. If you get a pulley bone or a thigh, I'll wear you out when he's gone. I sat over there and ate that scratcher and that neck while that preacher ate that pulley bone and thigh. And it'll make you pray for a calling. You get a call, brother. Amen. Why do you think Armin Newbern's in the ministry? Amen. Brother, it's a call from God. What a day, what a day. John, they came preaching. And then the Bible said, of those born of women, there is not risen a greater prophet. Somebody that'll stand and declare the whole counsel of God, regardless of whether it fits or doesn't fit. Now, what makes men great in the eyes of men, I don't understand. If you can knock a piece of horse hide stuffed with some string and other stuffing that doesn't amount to much over the back fence, they'll pay you more than they will be for being president of the United States. Of course, there's some warming up in the bullpen now that really anything to get would be too much. I'm not in your politics. I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, or a boll weevil. But I get amazed. People that can knock a ball over a back fence, they're great in the eyes of the world. If you can act like somebody you're not, Hollywood wants you. Amen. If you're a genuine hypocrite, they'll pay you big wages. I get amazed. Folks get excited about stars. If I want to see celebrities, I wouldn't go to Hollywood. I'd get in some Holy Ghost revival and find some saints that touch the hem of His garment that's going to live in the city of God. I'll show you where the redeemed and the stars are. Woo! Make you want to shout. Yes. A few years ago, I think the ugliest people that ever lived won the ugly contest in England. They sent them over here for a prize. We called them the Beatles. I wish we'd have sprayed them with DDT before we let them off of the plane. And it took a hold in our church. And now we got in our churches something on our hands we don't know how to handle. They call it Christian rock. There is no such thing as Christian rock. You might as well talk about a religious liquor store or a Pentecostal red light district. Would you shout now? I'm not impressed, brother. Give me a revival to bring back some more old-fashioned weaver singing, and I'll get with it. Hallelujah. Ask John Lennon. He said, we're more popular than Jesus Christ. I understand he left $240 million. That's how much he left. He left it all. But if you ask him in hell, it's a different story. What the world calls popular, brother, is not popular. When John Lennon is forgotten and some little grave barely marks his place, there'll be a place where the blood washed and the redeemed have planted a church that will glorify the King of Glory throughout the ceaseless ages of all eternity. Hallelujah. Elvis Presley came and he sang he wasn't nothing but a hound dog. And I said, he knows exactly what he is. I didn't blame him for singing that. The crowd sat and cheered and paid $75 to hear him sing three songs. But let me tell you tonight, the world didn't value John. It's my blessed Lord that said he's great. And that makes all the difference in the world. When we come to the end, it's not what men have said or thought. It's what the King has said. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Who said John was great? The same one that called Herod a fox. Hallelujah. I like that. Glory to God. Jesus walked out at the ministerial alliance meeting. Hallelujah. And they come running in with a little note that said, Herod's going to get you. And he said, go tell that fox. That shouting crowd. Woo, hallelujah. I would have said, tell that shrimp. I'm a doing cures and I'm a casting out devils and I'm having revival. I haven't got time to listen. Say amen. Woo! The same one that called Pharisees that kept the temple vipers and snakes. The same one that called the religious leaders whited sepulchers. The same one that told Pilate he had no power. He said, Pilate, if I'd wiggle one little finger, there'd be 12 legions of angels show up and Jerusalem would be ablaze with chariots of fire and heaven would come and I could have an arsenal of heaven to defend overnight. Woo! Shouts, man. That's the same one that told him, he's told me John was great. That makes the difference. I looked at the same one that raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. The same one that stopped the funeral procession in Maine. The same one that called Lazarus from the bowels of the earth. The same one that spoke worlds into existence and traced streams down the mountainside with his fingertips. The same one that told Noah, come thou and thy family into the ark. The same one that arose from the dead. Victor over death, hell, and the grave is the one that said John was great. That's why I believe he's great. Woo! Hallelujah. Does that sound like pray for me? I'll hold out to the end. The same one whom the Father thundered over Jordan and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the earth shook. Hallelujah. This is Him. That's who said John was great. Hallelujah. What was John? I asked the question. I went through the book. I got excited about this. Who was John anyway? And I looked up and he wasn't a sissy. Have you seen some of these little pipsqueaks? Pray for me. I'll hit you with my purse. Would you say amen? God give us some men that are rugged one more time. Our movement wasn't built by sissies. I went by a church not long ago and the associate pastor of that church was all upset. He said, "I just can't take it." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I've got mimeograph ink under my fingernails." He has suffered for Jesus. I mean, bearing the cross. Old-timer slept on the benches. Amen. Walked to church. Preached in a circuit rider. Never stayed in a Holiday Inn. And now we got somebody that's upset because they got ink under their fingernail. I wanted to pour a bottle down his neck. Amen. God, give us somebody that's not just a sissy, but will be men for God. Show thy self a man. Woo! John was not a rubber stamp. Amen. I like that. Not a me too. Sometimes it looks like we're turning preachers out like donuts. Would you? God, give us another. I know we haven't got much room for him, but give us another Jake Miller. Give us somebody that just doesn't come along and just sing the same little song. Give us a revival of the Holy Ghost where God anoints men and uses their personality to the glory of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Not a rubber stamp. He was not a double tongue. Now, I like it because he preached the same message in the king's court that he did down at the riverbank. Now, there's some of us are religious when we get with the right crowd. Would you shout now? Woo, come on now. Hallelujah, Brother Gherkin, I like the way you're shouting. Brother, some of us, I mean, we're religious when we get with that kind of crowd. But I like somebody that's the same in Oklahoma City as he is in Poto. I like someone that's the same at Curtis. And that's where I came from. You can't find Curtis now. They moved my home address. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I got out of there. I wouldn't have anywhere to get my mail. But oh, God, give us men that believe what they believe. Whether it's in the king's court or the riverbank, we belong to the King of Kings and uphold this indelible, infallible, immutable word above everything else in the world. Glory. He was not wanting the district to help him get a place to preach. I wish, would you shout now? If you have to pull strings to get a place to preach, you can't handle it if you get there. Would you shout now? John didn't say, "Dear superintendent, I've got a message, but nobody wants to hear me. I just haven't had an opening. I'm the greatest preacher. An angel said I was great." Would you shout? Brother, couldn't he have written a resume to a church? I get tickled at these resumes. I got to read some the other day. And I said, "My brother, anybody that's that great, they have no business here." I'm going to have fun while I'm here. Woo! Hallelujah. I said, John could have written a resume. An angel said I'd be great. He could have said, "I'm a voice. I'm a messenger." That isn't what he never said. "Dear superintendent, help me get a church." He started on a riverbank in a wilderness preaching repentance. Hallelujah. Woo! What a day. That's my kind of preacher. That's what made John great. Who was John? He was not a membership getter. I'm disappointed in him. I wish he'd have took a picture and sent it to the evangel. Mind, he had the whole crowd. He had everybody. The whole region of Judea came out. And he got them out there in the first service. He hadn't taken the Shuler course. Would you shout now? I'm disappointed in him. The first meeting, he preached, "You generation of snakes, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" That's not the way to stay in your church. That's not in the pastoral book. But did you look down through the Bible how many heroes in the Hall of Fame of Faith? We wouldn't want to preach a convention. I wouldn't want Enoch. He just had one message. "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. He's going to execute judgment upon you." We don't want a judgment preacher. We want a positive. Bill Weaver shout. Amen. And we wouldn't want Abel because he believes in only the blood. And you've got to be a little more liberal and a little. There's room for a lot in our fellowship. What's wrong with offered corn and peas and cantaloupes? I tell you what, he sees things a little different than we do, but thank God he does support the district. I never will get through. Did you hear me? We've got room for too much. You wouldn't want Abel. He's narrow-minded. I wouldn't want Enoch because he's a judgment preacher. And I wouldn't want Noah to preach a convention. He pastored the same church 120 years. And all in the world he had in it was eight. My Lord, we don't want him. And I wouldn't want John the Baptist to preach a convention, because if I got a crowd out, he'd call them serpents and snakes and tell them they need to repent. He was not a faddist, not a reed shaken with the wind. I've been in this fellowship a long time. Brother said, "I've been preaching 37 years. 36 years ago, F.C. Cornell gave me license to preach at Woodward. Thank God for him. I'm glad he did. A lot of you wouldn't have. I'll always love him. 36, but he wasn't a faddist. I've been in this when fads came along. If you didn't have a big tent, you wasn't anything. Then if you didn't have oil in your hands or a cross on your head, you wasn't anything. And then I've stayed in it long enough till if you didn't have your pocket bulging, you wouldn't ever get a chance to speak. We only interested in the rich." Would you shout now? Come on. Faddis! I've been here when we could see all kinds of devils and we could... I've been through that era. And I was with one the other day. Not a problem finding devils, it's handling them. John! I said, John was great. Brother, he is great in the sight of the Lord. Now I'm down to my message. I want to talk to you. Who was John then? If John was, and he wasn't a miracle worker. I wish John had had a magazine. Didn't even get their names and addresses when he had them on the riverbank. You know, if he'd just known how, he could have got a campaign manager. Just awful when you don't know how. I've been out here 37 years and I haven't got a list yet. You won't get a Christmas card from me. You that want my album, you may want to leave your name. But I'm talking to you. What made John great? Who was he? Let's talk about who he was. He was sent from God. And that makes the difference. When heaven sends you its authority that only God can give, hallelujah, to the bleeding lamb. He was a preacher. He was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He was a burning and shining light. He was a Christ exalter. He must increase and I must decrease. Hallelujah. Give us some Christ exalters again that will lift up the bloodstained banner. It's not us or our or us, but it's the touch of God that makes the difference. It's the King of Glory coming in His beauty. He wanted more when he saw it. When he got to the baptismal service, I could almost see him saying, "Wait, Jesus, don't come in the line yet. Wait till the camera gets here." We're going to have to do it over. Cut, do it again. Can you imagine Jesus standing out in the water while they baptized him 3 times so they could get pictures? Woo, we're going to have a time this week. John, what made him great? when he came to Jesus' baptism, he said, "Master, I just can't baptize you. I need your baptism. I want more. I've got what I've got, and I was full of the Holy Ghost. I had camp meeting before I was ever born. Woo! But oh, I'd like to have more. I want a revival. I want a fullness. I want a touch. I want revival. I want more. Give me a revival." He wanted more. John, what made him great? He told the truth. That makes a man, when you can rely on what he says. All the exaggerated reports. One fellow said he knew he was exaggerating about his Sunday school, but he said, "I'm doing it for the glory of God." I like the way you folks are looking now. I wish you wouldn't look across the aisle, though. My brother! Oh, the men that you can't build your life on what they say. Give me men that you can pin your life on their testimony. You don't need them to sign the note. They'll make it good because what they said, everything John said about it, you can build your life on it. It's true. That makes a man great in the sight of God. Glory. The Bible said the word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came. And I looked it up in the Greek. And it said, "And the word of the Lord pressed down on him." God, let us preach out of a holy... To do to a man when he comes to your church is to have him repeat a prayer and to tell him he's saved. Let him find reality till his life is changed, until God takes the cussing machine out and puts a crazed manufacturer down there, till he changes his conduct, he changes his habit, he makes him walk in the newness of life, lets him live in the fellowship of the Son. Bring back a revival that will preach repentance just one more time to our churches. I was in a church not long ago, and the pastor said, "Do you know how I gave my altar call Sunday?" I said, "No." He said, "I had those that want to receive Christ to give me a glance over the seat. Assembly of God, sir. Did you hear me? Have them." I said, "I don't know anything about that peekaboo religion." Ooh, I like it when you beller. I mean, ball, get with it. I had a lady get saved, and she prayed so hard she left both eyelashes on the altar. I believe in getting with it when you pray. I'm worried. I'm serious with you. There's a need of John to preach repentance just one more time in our churches.
If you want a revival, repent. If you want your healing, repent. If you want victory, repent. We're trying to get everybody happy. John called him a generation of vipers when he had him down there. Can you imagine Noah sticking his head up out of the top window and saying, all of you folks out there that are drowning, I want to have a final service with you. And I'm going to open it up by singing, something good is going to happen. Come on. Brother, the world is in trouble. We're in the last days. His life has changed until God takes the cussing machine out and puts a praise manufacturer down there. Till he changes his conduct. He changes his habit. He makes him walk in the newness of life. Lets him live in the fellowship of the Son. Bring back a revival that will preach repentance just one more time to our churches. I was in a church not long ago, and the pastor said, do you know how I gave my altar call Sunday? I said, no. He said, I had those that want to receive Christ to give me a glance over the seat. Assembly of God, sir. Did you hear me? I said, I don't know anything about that peekaboo religion. Ooh, I like it when you beller. I mean, ball, get with it. I had a lady get saved, and she prayed so hard she left both eyelashes on the altar. I believe in getting with it when you pray. I'm worried. I'm serious with you. There's a need of John to preach repentance just one more time in our churches. If you want a revival, repent. If you want your healing, repent. If you want victory, repent. We're trying to get everybody happy. John called him a generation of vipers when he had him down there. Can you imagine Noah sticking his head up out of the top window and saying, all of you folks out there that are drowning, I want to have a final service with you. And I'm going to open it up by singing, something good is going to happen. Come on. Brother, the world is in trouble. We're in the last days. The curtain's about to go down. The king's about to come. The spirit of the Antichrist is in the land. And the heavens are about to open. It's high time we lift up the banner and tell the world, repent and prepare ye the way of the Lord. Brother, let me plead with you. There's some things today that will live to haunt us. Not long ago, a pastor of the largest church in the district said, it's an accident if anybody gets saved in my church. Assembly of God on the marquee. Did you hear me? I'm not a calamity howler. And I love this fellowship. I heard about Sister Noah was a fussing about the animals making so much racket. And about the stink that's in the boat. And Brother Noah said, Sister Noah, I know it doesn't sound good, and I know it'll run you crazy. I know it stinks in here, but this is the best thing there is afloat. And Brother Dodd, everything isn't perfect in our fellowship, but it's the best thing we got afloat. I'm going to stick with it. Amen. Yes, sir. I want more of it. My heart's crying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came back to the church, he didn't say, now you need to get better psalm books. You need to print a better bulletin. And you need more staff. I don't like that word staff. That's an infection in the hospital. You know what he said? You need to repent. The way to God is repentance. The way back to heaven is repent. The way to start a revival in our churches is repent. You say, well, I'm trying to get people to worship. If they repent and get prayed through, you can't keep them from worshiping. Repent. Find that fellowship with God.
Glory.
Then I like Johnny preach, walk straight, make straight his paths. And that's unpopular. You don't want to preach that. You could offend some of the ones that have gotten in. I'm going to say it. I didn't think I would. I'm trying to be good. But the same thing that preachers were afraid of you when I first started preaching 37 years ago, if you didn't have, if you got that same thing, they're afraid of you now. Would you shout? I know it didn't fit, but I'm going to say it again. There's a need for some revival preaching of straight living, clean living. I'm not talking about some little homemade holiness doctrine. I'm talking about righteousness and truth and cleanliness and godliness and purity and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our young preachers will grow up confused when we have men that can drink like a fish and live like the devil and can pack the auditorium to the gills. Come on now. And people run wild and they drive fine automobiles and fly across our land. And we're willing to have them because they'll draw a crowd. We care not what they live, just so they draw a crowd. But there's something wrong inside of our fellowship if there's not a cry for make straight the paths of God just one more time. My heart cries. The message was bear fruit. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. And every tree that doesn't bring forth fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. John said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that's enough to get the baptism on while I'm preaching. He shall baptize you. Get ready, folks. I'm expecting people to get the baptism tonight. For John's the greatest prophet, and he said he would baptize you. Hallelujah. That's enough to get it on tonight. He'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Judgment's coming, sir. Give us a revival again that our children will know there's a burning hell. Give us a revival that our young people will know there's a pit that burns with fire and this worm dieth not in the fire shall never be quenched. Not long ago I preached in a camp meeting, and one night in the camp I preached on hell. And people stood in line down the aisle and across the back to buy the tape. And family after family said, my children has never heard a message on hell. I would like to buy five. I want four. I want to send one all. My children has never heard it. Held revival meeting for a pastor over 700 in Sunday school. And he said, Don, I can't handle that message. I've never mentioned that in the pulpit. Sir, it's a sad day when our families don't know there's an eternal hell and a judgment to come. It's a sad day when we're having church and we're playing on the appeal to men's minds and to their pocketbooks, and we're singing something good's going to happen to them when judgment's at the door. John, he must increase and I must decrease, and I like that. But what makes me shout about this man, all things John said were true. I want to impress that. Give me somebody you can build your family on what they tell you. Give me a pastor. Give me an evangelist. Give me a preacher that I don't have to question what he said in the pulpit. I believe what he said. You can hang your life on it. Say amen. I'm not impressed with big stories. I'm not impressed with exaggerated reports. I'm not impressed with how great you were out in California. Give me a revival that our children can say what he told us tonight. You can put your life on it. Everything John said was true. Hallelujah. I close pretty soon. You're an optimist if you put your shoes on, because I'm not that far along. There's a mystery about John I don't understand. Now here's the mystery. Why John wasn't chosen as one of the 12. I'd have made one.
Looks like John would have got his feelings hurt. Got Peter on there and he cussed. And they got Judas and he turned out to be a thief. And they got the other boys and they forsook him. And Matthew, he's been with the IRS. I like the way you're looking at me now. Brother, can you imagine? John was the greatest of the prophets, the preacher, and lived in the days of Christ, but wasn't one of the 12. And that tells me something. A man that's willing to live and prophesy in the place where God puts him and doesn't worry about his position with the 12, but his place in God, I can show you somebody that's going to be great. We're not position seekers. We're not maneuvers. We're not in a political arena. I'd rather be a Pentecostal Assemblies of God, Holy Ghost baptized evangelist, than be anything there is in the General Council. Woo! I want to magnify my office. Hallelujah. It's something just to be able to run up and down the road with a suitcase and believe God for a living. Woo! I like it. Don't feel sorry for me. Send your sympathy cards to friends that you know. Here's an amazing thing. Here's another mystery about John. Why anybody that great had that short a ministry? Never got to preach but just a year or so. Just barely a year. I wish he'd had some of these tapes. Would you shout, women? I just hate for a fellow to give up that quick. Did you know that Jesus just lived a stone's throw from where John was in prison? And here's another mystery. Jesus never went to visit John in prison. And that's enough to get your feelings hurt. Would you shout now? I had a lady in my church. I was pastoring one time, or pestering. I was there. And I didn't know she was sick. And finally, I got word she was sick, and I went over to see her, and she said, I could have died before you got here. I said, well. She said, I've been sick for days, and you haven't showed up. I said, well, I didn't know it. Well. I thought, well, I'm not really in no shape to pray you out of there now. But I went through the motion. Brother Doobie, I knew how. I reached over and touched her just like any good pastor. You know, it's amazing what God will ask you to pray for. I've gone from home here a while back holding a seminar for district seminar, and while I was gone, we live out in the edge of town, and they put the meanest woman a living on our telephone line. We got a party line out there, couldn't get a private line then. And I mean the meanest woman a living got on my party line while I was gone. She was mean. So mean she had to sleep with one eye open to keep from hurting herself. I know. That woman was mean. I'd pick up the phone and she'd cuss me out. And you can't tell it's in all use until you pick it up. I'd pick it up, she'd cuss me out again. She cussed out my grandkids. I had long distance call for preachers and she called us both bad names and told us to get off of there. And then I read in the scripture, it said, pray for them that despitefully use you. And I did. I said, oh God, put Deacon in her cereal. It's hard to pray for that kind. And then I'll find... I knew that wouldn't work. And I said, oh God, take it back out. And I called the telephone company and I said, there's not enough room for her and me both. Or she and I, one. Which is right? She and I, her and me. One, they can't, they're not room for both of us on that line. And they took her off, praise the Lord. Got me on a private line now. And I only have trouble with one, that's myself. What a day. Prayed for this lady, went into her room to pray for her, and she said, Brother Brankle, I could have died before you got here. She told me she bought a brand new Bible, and I went in there and found that Bible, great big one, one of them blue ribbon. Give $59.95 for it, it's worth $20. And I found James 5:14 and drew a circle, red circle, around called, put big arrows running down to it. I marked that Bible till you'd always have it marked. Longest day I was there, she'd know where it was. She got her healing. She is in service. I went around and I said, how are you feeling? She said, just fine. I said, you get my message? She said, sure did. That's wonderful. That's why I wonder why Jesus didn't visit John in jail. Why let Herod kill him? Now, I wouldn't have minded John just dying in a car wreck. Well, I guess it wasn't cars. It must have been a chariot wreck. But I hate for him to just die because Herod got him. And God could have spoke one word and Herod would have took high blood pressure. But he let Herod get him. And I wish he hadn't. But the book still said John was great. That thrills me. I'm going to hurry. I'm going to get through. Another thing about John I don't understand, he did no miracle. All the time he pastored the church. Had the largest crowd, but really didn't have many miracles. Not much happened. But one thing you could say about him, when he preached, all things he said about Jesus was true. And preacher, pastor, evangelist, if the world can tie to what we say, the Antichrist is going to be able to call down fire from heaven. And the false prophet's going to be able to make the beast to talk. But I'm going to tell you something he can't do. He can't live right. Hallelujah. All things that John said was true. I'm closing. When John sent to jail, and he is discouraged. And discouragement is the hardest tool you'll have getting victory over. If I could feel some days like I have a few days, the devil would be on the run. But there's been a few times when I've been under the juniper tree. And I've had to reach up to touch bottom. And I know how John felt. And I like this about the preacher. I know he was real. He sat in jail. And when you're sitting in jail, and you haven't done anything but preach the word. And he sent over and said, go over and ask Jesus, did I make a mistake? Is that really him or is there another? And they came back and said, John, we got to attend one of the greatest revivals we was ever in. The blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dumb speak. And the poor have the gospel preached to him. That's him, John. And John said, if I wasn't wrong, I'll stay in jail and shout. He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. He's the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah! When I get to the end, I want to be able to stand in His presence and say, that's the one I told the world that would wash their sins away. That's the one that will heal their sick body. That's the one that will baptize in the Holy Ghost. All things that John said were true. That's what makes him great. Give me what it takes to come to the end of the journey and hear him say, well done. And I'll be happy. Father, we love you tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask for the glory to come now. Lord, let the presence of the King penetrate this atmosphere. Let the halo of glory and the Shekinah of the King
be present tonight to manifest yourself in this tabernacle. We want your touch, Lord. I'd like to come to the end and hear you say, well done. I'd just like for you to say it, Lord. I just want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful. It's not what the church thought. It's not what men thought. It's what you know. God, you're looking on the heart tonight. I want your touch. We need you, Jesus. Come, mighty King of glory. I want you to stand all over the building tonight. Oh. Holy, holy. I believe you, Lord, to come in this campground and let these crowns be rendered holy. I'd like to see a mighty revival come to Oklahoma like we've never seen before. I can tell you right now, there's more people hungry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost than there's ever been in any generation that ever lived. The greatest opportunity that any church has ever had is at our doorstep right now. There's never been a day when you and I can see a greater revival than what we can see right now in the community. And we can't afford to fail now because we're too close to the end. And this is our day, folks. This is our day. We've got better buildings. We've got better people. We've got better everything. But what we need is a visitation of the King of Glory to just come into the church. Say amen. We've got choirs and we've got beautiful choir robes. We've got organs and we've got pianists. We've got musicians. We've got trained staff. But there's a crying need for the glory to come in our churches. And the power of the Holy Ghost just to settle down to where men and women weep and cry because they just got to church and they were there. His presence come. Would you pray for it tonight? Would you pray for it tonight? I wonder how many would say, Brother Brankel, it's me tonight. I want that touch of God that you're talking about John had. I want that fellowship with Him. I want to walk in His glory. I want to live in the blazing light of His righteousness. And my heart's crying, and I'm the one that came to this campground, and I'm going to leave with a touch of God, the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to believe God for a revival in my church, and I'm going to be a part of it. I want you to step out into the aisle with your hands uplifted and start down the aisle and say, it's me. I'm the one that came to camp. And we've got to have a revival. We're desperate. But I'm needy tonight, and I want to be the one that'll start that revival. I want to believe Him for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Would you start down the aisle with your hands up? I just want the sincere. I just want those to say, Brother Brankel, I'm desperate. Our church is in desperate need of revival. I don't care if you're Sunday school superintendent, pastor. I don't care if you're deacon or a missionary or evangelist. If your heart's crying for revival, somebody wants a revival. Somebody's got to have one. Something will lift us above the plane of normals. We're in the greatest hour the church has ever been. We're in the greatest day the church has ever known. And yet we're in the saddest hour. Sin and hell and wickedness is holding high carnival. God, would you start a revival? 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 What made John great? God will make our churches great. It'll make our missionaries great. Our evangelists great. Oh, glory to God and the Lamb. Glory to Yandara Goshadri Kitorubi Yandara Bahodri Yandara Bahandai. Jesus, I believe you for a miracle tonight. I believe you for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I believe you for the windows of heaven to open, Lord. I believe you, God, that the kingdom of God would be come and minister to us tonight. Oh, God, let these grounds be aflame and let
like revival fire burn from one side of the district to the other. Let us not
content ourselves or satisfy ourselves with past accomplishments. Let us not build memorials to past revivals, but to believe God for revival now. Oh, God, would you turn this campground into a mighty dynamo of a revival, Lord, a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Sweep over our soul. Sweep over our soul. Sweep over our soul. Great God. Precious King of Glory, would you start a revival? Here's hungry hearts that need business. Here's people that are crying to the King. Oh, come, Holy Ghost. Come and minister.